realfaith.org.au.
I would ask the spirits all kinds of things like, where can I park? And really simple things. And then I would just help people if they were feeling sick. I would ask for the energy to come through the universe. I wanted to know if it was real, and I experienced it was actually real. I just didn't realise what the truth was behind it.
Welcome to Real Faith. Conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's Real People, Real Life and Real Faith with Eric Scatterbo.
A clairvoyant is a person who claims to have a supernatural ability to perceive events in the future, and a medium is a person through whom spirits are alleged to be able to speak through. Our guest today has had experience being both, but she has now stepped out of the kingdom of darkness and has stepped into the kingdom of light. We'll hear her story on today's program. Sue Merrick, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Eric. It's nice to be here.
Glad to have you with us. And also joining us today is author and speaker Samantha Jankel.
Hi, Eric. Nice to be with you.
Glad to have you with us. And I should say that the reason why we are even chatting with Sue Merrick today is because you suggested her as a guest.
Yeah, I did, when we were chatting on the phone. Mm-hmm. So I met Sue a few weeks ago, or a few months now, where I had to meet her for another situation within a church. And so I went over to meet her and we got talking. And in that talk, we started talking about Sue's testimony and how she became a Christian.
And it sounds like it got more and more interesting as she went
on. Yeah, it was absolutely astounding. My mouth was open the whole time, you know what I mean? It's like you're gobsmacked. And then we had her come over for dinner, her and her husband, and share more with not just myself, but with my husband, Peter, and our children. And it's a miracle. Her story is a miracle of God's transforming power.
So the other day, as you mentioned, we were having a chat, and I said, well, do you have any suggestions for guests? And you said, do I have the perfect suggestion for you. So that's where you come in, Sue.
Thank you.
You have quite a story. We should go back. Where did it all begin? Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Footscray in Melbourne, and in a northern suburb most of my life. Haven't really gone far from where I grew up, in Avondale Heights.
And any spiritual upbringing?
No, none at all. Really, we were quite a non-religious family, and Christmas and Easter just consisted of presents from Santa and Easter eggs.
So, but you had an encounter, didn't you, spiritually, when you were 17? Is that right?
Yes, at school, we were in a year 12 camp, and I was really keen to find out if there was a spiritual, if the spiritual world was real. And so we devised this plan that at midnight we would go across and have a seance at the local cemetery.
And how did it go?
It didn't turn out really well. Yeah. Most of the children got scared and we ran away, but we regrouped in the school, in the scout hall, and had a seance which went for about 4 hours through the early hours of the morning, and it was really scary.
So can I ask, did the teachers know about this, or was this just something you did secretly, a bunch of you?
The teachers didn't know what we did until it all went pear-shaped and we all were screaming our heads off and running around like crazy. And but it scared me, and I pretty much didn't want to do anything after that.
And I think it's not that uncommon that teenagers, you know, in the supernatural and seances, there's going to be a natural interest in that type of thing.
Absolutely.
But before we go any further, I think we should make it clear that the supernatural world does exist. As Christians, we know that. There's God, angels, but there's also a demonic dimension of the supernatural.
Yes.
So we certainly don't want to glorify these types of things because they sound interesting. A Ouija board and seances and all that stuff. You've seen it in movies, but you're playing with fire.
Yes. A lot of, I was told that, am I sure I'm on the right side? When I first started, and I rolled my eyes and thought, what are you talking about? There's no sides. But there is definitely another side to that. And so that's what we want to talk about today.
Okay. And so was there more to the seance story?
Only that it really put me into fear. And so I from 17 to about 24.
What frightened you?
We had a manifestation in the seance, and our fireplace flames came out of the fireplace and scared us. And we broke a few glasses and things that as we got up in fright. And so after that, I tended to steer away, but I couldn't sleep with the light off. I was scared of the dark.
So in that seance, if I remember correctly, you were talking about how a glass fell, and it was basically saying if the glass broke, your life was going, you're going to die.
Yeah, so someone had heard that if a glass breaks in the middle of the seance, then someone would die.
Yeah.
And we broke two.
So do you think that's where the fear came in, because you had that in the back of your mind, that that glass broke?
Actually, it fell out of my hand.
Okay.
So I felt like I had caused it.
Yeah. But then you still looked into clairvoyancy and medium, is that right? So you were fearful up to the age of 24, but then you went on searching.
Yes, I went after my honeymoon, actually. My mum invited me. She was doing meditation. She invited me to a meditation class. So I thought I was really relaxed. I didn't need meditation. I'd just come back from my honeymoon, but I thought I'll go along with her. I'd been away for a couple of weeks. So I went along to this meditation class, and halfway through the class, the person who was leading it was doing something while everyone had their eyes closed, and I happened to open my eyes and see him do that. And I thought, see, he's doing something supernatural.
What were you seeing?
Well, he put his hand out. Everyone had their eyes closed, and there was about 20 people in the room with their eyes closed and the lights dimmed, and he had his hand reached out across the circle, and he was reaching for someone, and that person had her eyes closed, and as he pulled his hand forward, her head fell forward. And I was trying to work out, how did that happen? Mm. She couldn't see him. He was doing something to her, and she responded without looking. And so I asked him later. I said, I had one eye open, by the way, for the next for the next part, because I was scared he would do it to me.
Didn't
know what he'd done. And when I asked him, he said to me, oh, you don't realise that there is a supernatural realm. And I said, oh, yes, I do. I've had experience and I'm quite fearful. And he said, well, knowledge dispels fear, and he gave me a brochure for his course that he did, and he taught mediumship. And so my mum and myself, we did a 20-week course and learnt about the spiritual realm.
Wow. And when you were doing that course, lead us through what that looked like. Did that fear go because you felt like you had more knowledge?
It did. I felt like I knew what was going on. They did say that there's no devil.
Okay.
There's no evil, but there is bad energy and good energy.
Okay.
And so it was around controlling the good and the bad energy. And so that dispelled a lot of the fear at the time. And we did things like crystal healing, Reiki, channeling, tarot cards.
Reiki
is like a energy healing, hands-on kind of energy.
It's all new to me,
So really, you couldn't see anything bad in it because you haven't really been introduced to the light. So to you were helping people. Your heart was to help people.
Absolutely. I mean, to help myself to start with, because I would ask the spirits all kinds of things like, where can I park? And really simple things. And then I would just help people if they were feeling sick. I would ask for the energy to come through the universe and through my hands and onto their body and heal them. And they would feel better momentarily, and so I'd feel like, okay, I'm doing something good. I'm helping people.
So you actually learned all this stuff from this class.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're saying that in your experience, it seemed to be working.
Absolutely. That was the thing. It was real. I wanted to know if it was real, and I experienced it was actually real. I just didn't realize what the truth was behind it.
Our guest today is Sue Merrick, and she's talking about her experience as a clairvoyant and also as a medium. But as we will hear, she eventually steps out of the kingdom of darkness and steps into the kingdom of light. We'll have more of her story when we return right here on Real Faith.
Looking for resources to grow your faith? Check out Vision Christian Store with books, movies, audio CDs, DVD resources and more. Plus, free delivery on orders over $50. See visionstore.org.au.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scatto, and today we are speaking with Sue Merrick, who had experience being a clairvoyant and also a medium. Before the break, we heard how she actually took a course on how to become a medium. So she is our guest today, Sue Merrick, and also joining us today is author and speaker and friend of Sue Merrick, Samantha Jekyll.
So Sue, you do this course on becoming a medium, and you suddenly have people come to you for readings. And how did that come about, that people found out that you could read?
I think we just started with friends and family, and I just wanted to experiment really to see if it was working. And so I asked people if they'd like a reading, and then people started, word of mouth got around, and people were coming to me, making appointments. And I didn't take money for it because I thought I was just helping people.
Yeah.
And so in my workplace, even they would come at lunchtime and book in readings and energy healings and things like that.
And that went so far that you had to stop that, didn't you? Because it became so consuming,
it did. I found that a lot of people were obsessed about it, and they wanted to come back again and again and again. And I started to wonder if it was a bit like an addiction. So I felt uncomfortable with it, and I was thinking that I wanted to stop it and not do it as often.
Yeah. So you then take a job with a Christian organization or firm that's run by Christians.
Yes.
And you have an encounter with God, but it's not probably in the sense that we would think of an encounter, but you had an encounter with the Bible.
Yes.
Is that right? Do you want to talk a little bit about that? What happened?
It's a funny story. My mum gave me a Bible when I left home. I was fourth out of five kids. No one else got a Bible. In fact, we'd never seen it before, but I think it was hers. And she gave me this Bible when I left home. And I don't know why, but I had it in my drawer everywhere I moved. And I would occasionally open it up and always start at Genesis 1. And it was seemed like it was in a different language. I couldn't really understand it. So when I went to this Christian organization, they had different Bibles, all different kinds of Bibles. And I couldn't believe that there were so many kinds.
Hmm.
So I would use one of these Bibles to give the boss a scripture each day to start his day off on his run sheet. It was way before iPhones. So there was no Blackberries and iPhones yeah. and anything. It was just a paper run sheet, and I would put a scripture at the bottom.
So you're getting some brownie points.
I was trying to get brownie points.
Yeah, yes. It was like giving him a word of the day to encourage him.
Yes, without even realizing what I was doing that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I would open the Bible and ask the universe for a Bible verse. And so.
Oh. Yeah. But he didn't know you were asking the universe for which Bible verse.
No, he didn't know.
He just thought you were coming up with some
verses. Yeah.
Okay.
So there was something going on in that Bible that I couldn't quite put my fingers on. And the other thing that happened was the wife, she knew that I did all this sort of stuff, and she never condemned me. She did say to me, though, to be careful and to make sure I wasn't on the wrong side. But she never condemned me in the midst of it. And I had an experience in my bed where the demons would try and get me and hold me down. It was a bit like night terrors. Couldn't move, couldn't breathe, couldn't move. It was in the dark. And she said to me to call on the name of Jesus when that happened. And I didn't really pay any attention.
Now, we should say, with your getting involved in all these, what we know now is demonic forces.
Yes.
You're opening yourself up to demonic forces coming into your life and doing terrible things. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I think it was because I wanted to put the brakes on. I tried to stop doing it. I didn't want to do it as often. And so in the evening, sometimes every couple of months, I would get these attacks and I wouldn't be able to break out of them. And so I told her about that.
The Bible verse that's coming to my mind is that verse in the Bible that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. So he makes it so attractive to you. That's kind of how he got you sucked into this.
Oh, absolutely. I think we try and do things that are, we think we're doing the right thing. But really,
you had good motives. You wanted to help people.
Yes.
When you got into this.
Yes.
So it sounds nice.
It sounds nice. And hopefully people are getting answers, especially to people who have passed on or they've got grief or they want answers about their future. And we thought we were helping.
Yeah. So what's the transition from understanding that the Bible relates to a God and a creator and this incredible, awesome king What's that journey for you to go from that time to knowing Jesus?
What happened was I left that job. The business closed down and I actually took some time off. And there'd been an A-frame sign on the local roundabout for a community church. And I'd been seeing it for months, actually. And I thought to myself, I might go there. And I got up one morning. My husband had been to golf and the two children, 2 and 4, were fed and dressed before 9 o'clock. It was a miracle. And I was like, I'm wearing my tracksuit, my Adidas tracksuit, and I'm going to church. And if they don't like what I'm wearing, I'm leaving. So I got up to go, put the kids in the car, and I actually had an accident. I smashed my knee so badly it put me on the floor. And I said out loud, "You're not stopping me. I'm going." Wow. And so I got in the car and I got to this church, and it was in a school, so it didn't look like a church building. It was just in a hall. And I was completely not expecting anything. And as I walked in the door, all the hair on my body stood up. And I used to cleanse houses and things. And so when I'd be able to recognize there was a spirit in the room, the hair on my body would stand up. But this was huge. I'd walked into the hall, which is just a school hall. And I thought, I'd never felt anything so big. This is humongous. And so I just sat down, listened to the song and the sermon, and I think I just cried. I cried for 3 months. I went back and back and back and just kept crying and didn't know what was going on. And I thought, God is real. I had no idea.
So that presence that you felt was much bigger than anything you had felt before, Ryan.
Absolutely. It was huge. And I thought, if God is real and this is his spirit, then I thought this whole thing was dead. I thought the book was old, an ancient book. I thought this was a dead script. I didn't know that I didn't actually understand Father, Son and Holy Spirit until that moment.
Mm.
Mm.
Now, why did you go to this church in the first place?
I think I decided I wanted good morals for my kids. And I thought if I went there, my kids would have a good upbringing. That's where I think I went for my kids. I told everyone I was going for my kids.
So at what point did you realize that being a medium, being a tarot card reader, all these energies were actually not from God, that they were actually bad?
Actually, it was when I was pinned to my bed in the middle of the night, and my boss had told me if I wanted to be released from that I should call on the name of Jesus. And I, at the time, I laughed at her, but 3 months later when it happened again in the middle of the night, I managed to get Jesus out, the name, just forcing myself, Jesus, like that. And instantly I had peace. Mm. Instantly these things left the room. And I went straight back to sleep. And I actually didn't do anything about it for about 12 months. But I was amazed that it worked. And I thought, well, there's something about the power in the name of Jesus. So that's where I think it went.
Mm-hmm. So from there, you go to the church and you have this incredible experience with this feeling of this bigness of God.
Mm.
So you, at some stage, you accept Jesus, and then what happens then? So you become a Christian, your children, your husband, and what does life look like now for Sue?
Well, I was baptized about a year later, and eventually my three children became Christians, and 12 years after me, my husband became a Christian. And currently, I'm pastoring a church at Thornbury. And it's my first placement. I went to Bible college, started Bible college at 40. And so 7 years on, I'm pastoring a church. Isn't God amazing?
Wow.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask was you had kind of this anxiety and panic attacks. How did putting your faith in Jesus impact that part of your life?
Oh, it was incredible. Actually, when I had some fear around some things that were happening at the time regarding my son, and I went to an elder and spoke to her about that, and she said to me, you've stepped out of the kingdom of darkness. You've come into the kingdom of light. You're no longer under that curse. And I just felt free.
Yeah. Can I just ask, do you want to just give us a quick snippet of that story, what happened with your son and
sure.
what that look like?
During that course that I was doing, we used to do readings on each other, and someone had given me a reading, and at the time I had no children at the time, and he said that my third child would die in early infancy, so before he was two, he would die. And so I had this fear, constant fear, that if I had a third child, it would die, and that that was my destiny. And so when I was pregnant with my third child as a Christian, I was in fear that that would happen. And so I went to my elder and explained, and we prayed together. And she said to me, you're no longer of that kingdom. You're no longer under that curse. And we broke off any curses that were spoken over me and my son. He's 16 now, and he's on fire for God as well, which is awesome.
So as you mentioned, you're now a pastor. You are in the light, and you're leading and guiding others into the light. Mm-hmm. But, you know, looking back, you can see, you know, when you were in high school, a teenager, kind of dabbling with seances, and then eventually getting into the clairvoyancy and being a medium and all that. Mm-hmm. What advice would you have listeners who might see somebody in their life that are starting to dabble with that, and they think, no, it's fine?
Well, there's a couple of things. The first thing is that I was completely, as a new Christian, I was shut down completely to anyone who was dabbling in that. I would avoid them. I would avoid conversation with them. And what I've learned is that they're just seeking. They're really looking for the truth. And it's not them as much. God revealed himself to me while I was still in there. Jesus revealed himself to me while I was still involved in it. And they're very much more open to God than most people, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's
because they realize there is a supernatural
dimension
to life.
That's it, that they get past that, that they know that there's a spiritual realm, they know it's real, and once they experience who Jesus is, then there's no going back.
Yeah, so they're just seekers.
Absolutely. Hungry.
Yeah.
Hungry. I was hungry. I was really seeking that, to fill that space. That
misled seekers.
Misled seekers, absolutely. But they don't know what they don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
that's where you come in.
That's where I came in.
That's where I come in. This is where Samantha comes in, that we can lead people to the kingdom of light.
Yes.
Yeah, amen.
Anything else you'd like to share?
I think the big thing for me is that these people, or most of these people, are really thinking that they're doing something good, and that the enemy is masquerading as an angel of light. Mm-hmm. But the ultimate goal of the enemy is to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's only Christ that brings life.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. It's powerful.
And a verse from the Bible that kind of sums up what we've been talking about today is found in Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. And that's exactly what happened in your life, Sue.
Yes, it has.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Sue.
And also joining us today has been author and speaker Samantha Jekyll.
Thanks, Eric. It's been a pleasure.
And once again, our guest today has been Sue Merrick, pastor at Thornbury Church of Christ.
You've been listening to Real Faith, and if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again next time for more conversations about God working in the lives of people who put their faith and trust in Him. That's real people, real life, and real faith. This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.